Welcome to Tawari Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu, Perek 39. In the last Perek, Chizkiyahu was cured from a deathly illness. He shared a beautiful letter he wrote when he was healed. The sign Hashem gave him that he would be healed was that the sun went back 10 degrees on the steps, and then he was cured miraculously using a cake of figs. This Perek follows directly from the last Perek, and also is found in Sefer Melachim. At this point in history, even after Sancheriv is killed by his sons, Ashur is ruling many vassal states. One of these countries will eventually become Babel when Nebuchadnezzar established their independence. At this point in the narrative of Chizkiyahu's life, Babel is currently ruled by Merodach Baladan ben Baladan. The parak begins, Pasuk 1, Beis Ahi. At that time, after the miracle of Chizkiyahu being cured, this Merodach Baladan ben Baladan sends Sefarim Mincha, writings and a tribute to Chizkiyahu. Why does he do this? Vayishma ki chala vayachazak. He had heard that Chizkiyahu had been sick and he had fully recovered. In Divrei Hayamim, it provides a different reason. It says that Merodach Baladan had heard about the sign of the sun. Rashi provides a fascinating backstory to this event that resolved why Merodach Baladan came. He explains that as royalty, he would eat a noontime meal and then take an afternoon nap for 3 hours. On this day, his servants never woke him up, and he wanted to punish his servants for letting him sleep through the night. They explained that the sun in the region had gone back to an earlier time of the day, so it was not yet time for him to get up. He questioned his servants, why did this happen? They told him it was because Chizkiyahu was sick and healed. Immediately, Merodach Baladan said, if he is such a great man that miracles are happening for him, then I should meet him. He sent him a letter to make the introduction. Chizkiyahu received the letter and the delegation bringing the present. Pasuk 2. Vayismach aleihem Chizkiyahu. And Chizkiyahu rejoiced over them. He was very excited to be able to share his good fortune and discuss the miracles. Unfortunately, his next response after this was not considered proper. He showed them all the treasure houses, his gold, his silver, his spices, Beth Hashem and Hatov, the good oil, which Rashi says was the special anointing oil used to inaugurate every king, or it was a special oil found only in Israel that one is required to make a blessing when one smells it. He also showed them his entire storehouse of utensils and everything else in his storehouses. Lo hayadavar, there was not a single thing, asher lo her am Chizkiyahu beveso, that Chizkiyahu did not show them from his house, ubechol memshalto, and in all of his kingdom. To begin, Sancheriv had just emptied out his treasure houses. The fact that he had anything to show meant that it had been restocked from the loot collected outside of Sancheriv's camp. It seems like Chizkiyahu is demonstrating how much Hashem has helped him. This display of wealth will get a very severe reaction from Hashem, so it is important to understand what was the problem with what he did. There are two issues that the Mefarshim find with Chizkiyahu's display. One issue is that Chizkiyahu should not have shown all his wealth. The focus on wealth was not the message Chizkiyahu should have focused on. He should have spent the time describing the miracle and what Hashem did. Showing the wealth detracted from their focus on the spiritual reality that had occurred. In addition, by displaying his wealth, he was causing the visitors to be jealous of his possessions. It would have been better to limit what they saw, as one should not flaunt their wealth so that you don't make other people jealous. The other issue that the Mefarshim discuss is that there was a problem with what he showed. According to the Mamloes, the word bias, home in this pasuk, hints to his wife. He had his wife host the party and serve the delegation. This was not in line with the principles of Tznius, where she was shown off by her husband. Avram Avinu hosted guests, and Sar Imenu did not serve and kept herself separate from the strange men. This was the Jewish value. It was not the value of Achashverosh, who wanted to have Vashti come and serve in this party. The Medrash also said that he pulled aside the curtains to the Kodesh Kodashim, opened the Aron, and showed them the Luchos, saying this is how we win wars. Rashi said that he showed them his personal Sefer Torah, which a king keeps in his treasure house, unless he is appearing in public. Each of these choices reflects a violation of Tznius, where something that is private is shown to the public, which diminishes it. The visitors came to learn about the miracle, but they left with their attention being distracted by things which served only to promote Chizkiyahu and not Hashem. The Malbim points out that there is a mitzvah in the Torah, in Devarim 17:20, that a king is not supposed to collect so much wealth, levilti rom levavecha, so his heart should not be haughty. This was exactly what happened here. Chizkiyahu was a tzaddik, and so when he erred, he will receive correction immediately. Pasuk 3, Vayavo Yeshayahu ha-Navi al ha-Melech Chizkiyahu. Yeshayahu, in his role as Navi, came to speak to Chizkiyahu, who was acting in his role as king. He asks him a question, to which he knew the answer, to give Chizkiyahu a moment to reflect and do tshuva on his own. Ma amruha anashim ha'ile, b'me'ayin yavoe lecha? What did these people say? From where did they come? Chizkiyahu responds, Me'eretz rechoka ba'u elai mi Babel. They came from a faraway country to me, even from Babel. Chizkiyahu emphasizes that he was the goal of the visit. He didn't answer Yeshayahu's question directly, as he didn't tell Yeshayahu about the letter that was sent discussing the miracle. Chizkiyahu interpreted the visit that they were coming to see him personally. He also understood Yeshayahu's deeper question, and responded, Don't worry that I showed them the treasure and got them jealous. They are from this far-off place, Babel. They won't cause us any problem. They're too far away. Yeshayahu presses further, Pasuk 4, Ma ra'u beveisecha? What did they see in your house? Chizkiyahu replies, As kol asher beveisi ra'u, lo hayadavar asher lo hirisim ba'otzrosai. That everything that's in my house they have seen, there was nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Chizkiyahu's response, say Chazal, showed arrogance. He knew that Yeshayahu knew what he had done. Rather than start to discuss the issue with Yeshayahu, he was implying that what he did was fine, even if Yeshayahu felt otherwise. Chizkiyahu was not just a regular king. The pasuk in Malachim 18:5 tells us, "Vashem Elokei Yisrael batach," that he believed in Hashem, the God of Israel. "Vacharav lo haya chamohu," after him there was no king that was like him, "b'chol malchei Yehuda," and all the kings of Yehuda. "Vasher hayu lefanav," and none that were like him before him. How Chizkiyahu dealt with these visitors was not in line with his life of trying to increase Kiddush Hashem and minimize his own ego. Yeshayahu tells Chizkiyahu Nevuah, Pasuk 6, Hine yamim ba'im, behold, there are days coming. V'nisa kol asher beveisecha v'asher atru avosecha ad yom hazeh bavel. All that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up until this day shall be carried to Bavel. Lo yivaser davar, amar Hashem. Nothing shall be left, says Hashem. As a consequence of showing everything to these messengers, all of it will be taken to Babel. Pasuk 7. The next part of the punishment will be, Umi banecha asher yitzu mimcha asher tolid yikachu. And those sons that will come out from you, whom you give birth to, yikachu, they will be taken to this foreign land. Vahayu sarisim behecha melech Babel. And they will be officers in the palace of the king of Babel in this foreign land. Hananel, Mishael, Azariah, and Daniel would have to serve in the king's homes, just as the delegation was served in Chizkiyahu's home. Chizkiyahu's response shows why he is a tzaddik. Pasuk 8, he says, Tov dvar Hashem asher dibarta. The matter which you spoke about is good. He accepted the judgment of Hashem and did not fight it. He did not argue. He says and requests one thing, Ki yashalom v'emes b'yamai, there should be peace and truth in my day. The Mefarshim grapple with how could Chizkiyahu accept this judgment so nonchalantly about this news that all of his wealth and his children would be carried off to Galus. Shouldn't he have davened like when he was sick? Why did he only ask for peace and truth in his day? Rav Schwab answers this question by noting that Chizkiyahu knew that he would have a son Menasha who would be evil. He also knew how much effort it took him to lead the Jewish people to the Torah and away from Avodah Zarah. He could not control the people who lived after him. For himself, he committed to leading the people with shalom and emes, with truth and peace. Rav Schwab is interpreting the end of the pasuk as a statement that there will be peace and truth in my day if I can do anything about it. In the Sefer Talmud Abiyado, Rabbi Yerachmiel Kram speaks about the significance of these two traits. He notes that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, according to Chazal, because lo berachu b'Torah tchila. They did not make a blessing over Torah study before studying it. the people in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash did not value Torah. Because of this behavior and this attitude, the Jewish people went into Galus and lost the land of Israel. Torah is the ultimate truth. We say, Moshe emes v'saraso emes. Moshe is a true Navi and his Torah is truth. Chizkiyahu committed to teaching the people the value of the Torah to prevent Galus as much as he could. Chazal say that the reason for the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash was sinas chinam, blind hatred of other Jews. Hatred of other Jews reflects a lack of ability to live with them in peace. Chizkiyahu also committed that in his time he would promote shalom, peace, so that there would be no sinas chinam. Though he could not change future generations, he tried to set up a society that would have the core values that would prevent galus. In this perek, Chizkiyahu hosts visitors from Bavel who heard about the miracles of his healing and the sun standing still. Yeshayahu told him that it was not okay what he said and did. And as a result, this nation, Bavel, would attack and take away everything that they had been shown. One lesson in this parak is how important it is not to substitute the physical for the spiritual. Our words have power. We don't need to resort to showy displays of wealth to show Kavod Hashem, honor to Hashem. The glory of man is his ability to speak. When we talk about Hashem's gifts, it is much better and it does not distract us from the reason we are in this world. Once we are in Galus, we can work on the two attributes that Chizkiyahu emphasized toward the end of his life. Peace, by finding ways to get along with others who we may not naturally love, and emes, truth, which can only be found by studying the Torah. This is a very disappointing way to end our story of Chizkiyahu and the first 39 prakim of the Sefer. The next Sefer will start a new section with the consolations. In Perek 9, Hashem promised the nation that they would have a son who would be born to Achaz, the evil king, and this son would be called Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. He would make peace between Hashem and his people and among all the nations. He had the potential to be Mashiach, as we've seen in Perek after Perek. In the end, this potential was not realized, and we still await the Mashiach thousands of years later. May he come speedily in our day. Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.